Welcome back in. Hour number three, Dirt and Sprague, Portland sports leader, 105.1 FM, The Fan, 1080 AM, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube. Good morning, everybody.
Shout out the Hoggies.
Happy Friday. Got a lot still to get to. Halfway down, welcome to the third quarter of the radio show. And coming up in the final hour, we're going to get Jake's Takes, Such Man, our video guy behind the scenes. He's popping in. Maybe popping a gummy on his way to work today. We'll see. It's his last day in the office. We told him you can do whatever you want. And he's always wanted to be on the radio.
So he's not going to do that.
We're going to put him on the radio.
He's wanted to be a host.
It'd be really funny if he did, though. You could tell immediately. I feel like if Jake came in high, you would notice immediately.
Oh, Jake? Yeah. Jake under any substances is the easiest. Oh, yep. Okay.
Jakey, we're having a good time here on a Friday.
I'll be curious if you get him a pretty good IPA today after the show.
Time to nut up or shut
start,
up.
You can tell he's feeling it a little bit.
I might buy him a shot. It's his last day. Let's go take a couple of shots, buddy. It's 10:15 in the morning on a Friday.
He's from like Jersey proper.
Yeah.
So what do you think people in that region...
He seems like a hoity-toity booze guy. If I'm going to be honest, I hope I'm not judging a book by its cover. He seems like he's going to ask for something top shelf.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that.
And I'm just like, excuse me, what? No.
What is that? What year?
You will have Evan Williams and you will like it. Okay? That's how we roll around here.
No, why'd you say that? It's terrible.
Wash your ass.
That's one of the few like alcoholic things I hear and I instantly have the bad taste in my mouth.
You get it immediately.
I'm like, oh, don't do the Evan Williams thing.
I drank enough Evan Williams in college to last a lifetime. Lots to get to in this hour. You tease something that I do want to get to because we had text coming in on it. We ended up putting Diana Rossini audio in that segment instead.
What, guys wanting to sleep with 8-month pregnant ladies aren't their babies?
Not that. The awkward family injury history that people may or may not have at
home. I apologize for that. I got derailed. Matt Boyd sparked this conversation.
Yeah, there's a Giants pitcher years ago that had one that's still hilarious. So we'll get to that. Everybody's got a funny at-home injury story. So that's still to come. And then we'll dive into the weekend ahead, and that being the NBA playoffs and more games tonight. We'll see how this two series goes as they go to Philly and Minnesota starting tonight for game 3.
Yeah, I saw one of these NBA guys was on ESPN radio, and I listened to the cut this morning, and he's like, series over. Be lucky if it goes past 5 for Minnesota. They should have lost game 1. And I'm like, okay.
All right.
Wait and see on that one.
What if they win tonight? Then we got a 2-1 series lead.
If San Antonio looks how they looked in game 2 and they end up running away with game 3, we just need to say what is already probably being said by sports fans. Dud second round. Just an absolute awful. I push back on your first round wasn't good. I thought it was a pretty good first round. The second round's been terrible.
Not good so far.
No.
Not entertaining. And maybe one of these series ends up delivering. But yeah, if San Antonio rolls tonight and New York wins tonight, there goes any hope of a good first or second round.
Yeah, well, if the Knicks win, it's over.
Nobody cares about Lakers and Thunder at this point. The Thunder are flopping their way in, and the Lakers don't have their best player. And unless you're a Cavs fan, if you're a Cavs fan, you probably won't want to watch. Unless you're a Pistons fan, nobody cares about Pistons and Cavs.
The Pistons are not winning the NBA championship.
They are not winning the NBA championship. They should have lost. If Orlando didn't go on an historic cold streak in game
6,
they lose in the first round as a 1 seed in the Eastern Conference.
A 1 seed in 6 games.
I want to get to this, though, because I spent a lot of time this week, and we've talked about it a number of times on the show. It continues to be a growing topic, and we all know that it is looming on the horizon. Did you know? We're likely headed to a 24-team college football playoff.
We are.
Seems like it's going to happen. And I thought this was interesting. So I've spent some time thinking about this week because you and I don't think we're that differing in our opinions of it. I'm just more asking aloud, will there be consequences? Will we change the way we view the regular season? Not saying that it will affect it or it will be a bad thing for the sport, more just wanting to ask the question. Like when we went to a 4-team playoff, I don't think anybody at the time argued this is going to leave every other bowl game feeling obsolete. Now, maybe that argument was out there. I just don't remember it being at the time. And then a couple of years you get in and you're like, well, yeah, nobody wants to play in the Fiesta Bowl anymore unless it's a playoff game. And you're like, oh, okay, well, we didn't really see that coming. So that's mainly why I'm asking the question.
Our first conversation on that, I didn't see it coming initially. The first year after, that was kind of my takeaway of like how irrelevant and just nobody cares about non-playoff games. And I remember having a topic with you of like, Oregon in the Rose Bowl versus Oregon getting drubbed by LSU. And I'm like, dude, I know it sounds dumb.
I'd rather get
drubbed by LSU in the playoff than win a Rose Bowl that nobody's going to remember outside of Eugene.
And this is the one thing that I'm trying to balance internally, because for the top echelon teams in the sport, I do think it impacts the regular season slightly. Not that you'll, you know, excuse a loss or not care about losing to a rival or anything along those lines. There's just a... There will be a margin for error for some programs that this will make it like you're basically a lock every single season. Like, what would Oregon's record have to be to not make a 2014 playoff?
Like an 8-4, but even like not a great conference record.
You might be borderline back end. So, like, you're legitimately looking at potentially 7-5. You're in consideration at 8-4.
8-4 is going to be largely a cutoff point for a lot of teams, depending on what their
schedule
is.
Who they played and all of that stuff, right? So what I'm trying to do is go to the other angle of... how would it positively impact everybody else outside of that top bucket at the Georgia, Miami, Ohio State, Oregon, right? The teams of Indiana right now at the top of the sport, Notre Dame. And who would it impact? And I thought this was interesting. So somebody put out a graphic on the 12-team playoff has now existed for 2 years. If it over the last 2 years had been a 24-team playoff, do you care to guess how many more teams would have made the college football playoff?
So you're 12 already, more.
You're already at 12. Well, no, I'm just saying how many more unique schools. Because some of the teams, like Oregon's been twice, Georgia's been twice, like a lot of Indiana's been twice.
What do you mean, I guess, by unique schools?
How many
mean,
more like... teams that have not been to a playoff in the last 2 years would have gone to a college football playoff?
I'm going to guess 14.
It's higher than that.
Yeah.
That's the interesting part. So it's actually on the dot, 24. More teams would have made the playoff.
Oh, I guess you're right, because if it rotates and you look through
the... Yeah, and here are the number of teams from each conference. The two biggest winners out of this, based on the way the regular season standings looked at the end of the last two regular seasons, would have been the SEC and the Big 12. So the number of teams out of the SEC, they would have gotten six extra bids to the college football playoff of teams that did not make it over the last 2 years. Vanderbilt has not been in the playoff. Missouri's not been in the playoff. South Carolina, just to name a few. In the Big 12, BYU has been left out each of the last two seasons. Go Cougs. Iowa State would have made a college football playoff. You know who would have made a college football playoff 2 years ago? Do you believe me? Do you believe now? They would not have. Prime would have made a college football playoff.
3 years ago.
Utah would have made a college football playoff. Arizona and Houston would have made college football playoffs. In the ACC,
such a fraud.
Miami, I believe, is the – I have to go back to 2 years ago. I can't remember who the ACC – no, Clemson made it out of the ACC.
They were the three-loss team that made it.
And then Miami this year. So you would have also had Syracuse with a bid to the playoff, Virginia with a bid to the playoff, and Georgia Tech. And then in the Big Ten, it would have been Illinois would have made one.
Yep.
USC would have made one.
Mm-hmm.
Michigan would have made one.
Yeah.
And Iowa would have made one. You would have also added UNLV getting an extra bid out of the Mountain West and Army – out of the American Conference.
Thank you for your service.
Thank you for your service. And so this is the unique part that I'm trying to balance of. I certainly think for some of the bigger fish in the pool, it will dampen a little bit of the sense of urgency week in and week out, because you could just get away with more. While then on the opposite end of it arguing, and this is the point you brought up a few moments ago with the Oregon angle, and I think you could use Oregon State as an example of this. If you were an Oregon State fan,
I'd feel very optimistic.
Would you rather have your team go to a fill-in-the-blank bowl game and win against fill-in-the-blank opponent or go as a 22 seed and have to play, a team you're probably going to lose by 21 points
Miami.
To, but you're in the college football playoff?
Yes. I don't even... Okay. I'm so far in on being in the playoff in that scenario, I can't even begin to understand why you wouldn't choose that.
Mm-hmm.
What am I getting out of them being in the L.A. Bowl playing Utah State?
Yeah.
That's not even a game I want to watch, because half the team's not going to play.
No, guys will opt out.
Nobody's at the game.
No.
Like the
15 people in attendance.
Right. 15 Beaver fans travel for the game. Like, legitimately, what is even the argument to be made that you would rather see them play the Meineke Car Care Bowl
don't you
versus being
Meineke.
The 22 seed and play Miami of Florida.
Yeah, like going on the road to play Texas or whoever, Georgia.
Just fundamentally will never agree. If your point is, I'd rather them go to the irrelevant bowl game, spring, and win. Like, we'll never agree then. Like, that, I will not, I can't even understand the opinion. It's one thing to not agree with it. It's another to be a little open-minded to it. I can't even understand the logic behind why you would choose the non-bowl game you don't care about versus losing or at least having a shot in a playoff scenario. Or
even
state.
If you lose, it's like, whatever, you were there.
I don't care. Yeah. I'm in it. You're not
going to win a national championship either way.
Here's what I was thinking about with this, because I read a really good article on The Athletic yesterday from Joe Rexrod. Rex Road? Rex Rod. Doesn't matter. I think Rex Rod's better. If it's Road, I apologize. Anyways, he wrote an article basically comping what is worse for the sport, the 24-team college football expansion or the 76-team NCAA tournament field. Now, credit to a local reporter, Lindsey Schnell reached out and asked the people in the know, I forget what affiliates, ESPN and whatnot, how will your brackets work with 76 teams? And you know what the response was she got? They're not on it. The tournament doesn't start till Thursday. All of those games will not be on your bracket.
No.
So we're like, yo.
They're just adding to the top portion. So you already had that at the top of the bracket where it was the play-in teams?
No, the brackets won't even have them. It's going to be Thursday.
Well, March Madness released their brackets, and they had them on top of the thing.
So that's what ESPN was. Well, but if you're on an ESPN contest.
I think it's for a bracket challenge. It won't. Those games won't count. Yeah, but on the paper one you print out, the games will be at the top.
So I just, those games don't count.
No.
And you can certainly make your arguments for why 24 is way too much. And I'm not going to, that I understand, but it's not close to me. 76 NCAA tournament teams is, it's far more egregious, I think, than 24 teams in the college football playoff. People wanted to go back to 2 and 4, and I'll tell you why I don't like that. We're not playing by the same set of standards and rules. You are not looking at Alabama and telling me you're evaluating Alabama the exact same way you're evaluating BYU. You're not. You're a liar. You're straight up saying, well, their recruiting rankings are higher, and they play in a conference I respect more, and that other team plays in the Big 12, and they didn't win their biggest game of the year, so their three losses are null and void, nowhere near their three losses.
Two losses.
Well, whatever it is. My whole point is to simply say you're not evaluating this from a fair standpoint, so that's why I'm anti 2 and 4. That's why I like 12. Now, if you want to go to 16, cool. If it gets to 24, which I expect it to, I'm also not going to complain about it because guess what? I'll still watch.
Right.
You cannot, with the sport with that many teams, tell me you're evaluating it from an honest, neutral vantage point. You're not. There's too much money invested in each conference with each network. At least in college basketball, even though they have more teams, that is different. It's five guys on the court at once. We clearly know that, you know, fill in the blank mid-major you've never heard about is in no way earned the fifth place team in the SEC. We know that. College football is a little different because we're not talking about liberty-bibberty. We are talking legitimately about should BYU make it or should Notre Dame make it?
Yeah.
Guess who's going to get picked every single time?
Notre Dame.
It's going to be Notre Dame. So I understand the sentiments of not wanting 24, but I guess I would ask, what sport has expanded their postseason that you hate? Because I don't think we can name one.
I mean, the NCAA tournament will be the only one.
No, I'm not talking
eventually.
College athletics. What pro league has expanded? They've all expanded. Which one expanded that you hate?
I think the play-in in the NBA is pretty dumb, to be honest.
Yeah,
but
the play-in's just an expansion of get to a playoff spot, though.
Yeah.
It's the extension of the regular season. They don't even count it as playoff status when you get to playoffs.
I think it's dumb having the 9th and 10th place teams have a chance.
Totally get it.
You play 82 games, they should count for something, and then it's you win one game, and all of a sudden you jump. I find that dumb.
But they haven't expanded the teams in the playoffs.
And the technical playoffs is still
8-0. Baseball, they've expanded it. Guess what's been great?
Yeah.
The expansion in baseball. The NFL added 2 wild card teams. We can make fun of the 7 seeds in the NFL because we don't, you know, we still remember what it was like. Hey, your season actually shouldn't be a playoff season, but now you view it that way. But we also love it when our team makes the wild card because it's fun to be in the playoffs.
And I think we had one upset, 7-2? Has there been one?
Well, Green Bay beat Dallas.
Yeah.
I think that was the upset.
That was the one, right?
Maybe there's another one.
Yeah.
My whole point is, like, you're not really against expansion. You might say you are, but you end up liking it. The only one I'm firmly against is the NCAA tournament, because it just, I don't know, there is something about that that's different to me than 24 in college football.
Well, I think it's also, you know, the interesting part of this for me will be who does it end up actually rewarding and benefiting? Because I think that's the part of it with the NCAA tournament where you're expanding access to 76 teams, and we all know who is going to get those extra bids. We all know where they're going to go.
Yeah.
It's going to go to the 11th place team in the Big Ten and the 12th place team in the SEC, who were below 500 in conference play, and it's like, I don't need to see
Dane Altman, you better make tournament next year.
I don't need to see you in the tournament, man. Like, I don't need that. You're not, you had a full season to show what you were or were not capable of, and that's why I thought this graphic was interesting of some of these types of teams of like, dude, Georgia Tech getting into a playoff, kind of cool. Army making a college football playoff, that's cool. BYU should have been in and had a strong argument the last 2 years, as Brandon knows. Like, them getting to one would be nice. UNLV out of the Mountain West a year ago. Like, hell yeah, dude, put UNLV in a playoff. Like, I think that's one of my lingering questions. But it also, and this is the argument of the regular season mattering and always wanting it to matter. I think the tough part with that is there's truth on both sides of the debate, where on one hand, again, it will dilute a little bit of the regular season for people and make it not quite feel as serious or a loss. The ramifications won't mean the same. While simultaneously, you have to acknowledge for all these other teams that I'm referencing that would have been in the playoff in the last 2 years, a Vanderbilt, a Missouri, a South Carolina, Iowa State, a Houston, a Colorado, an Army, a UNLV, what do the last 2-3 weeks of their regular season look like? And how much more seriously are their fans engaged with the end of the regular season?
You're fighting harder.
Knowing that you have, like, hey, man, if we win, we're the we're ranked 21st right now. Mm-hmm. And if we win our last game of the regular season, we're a lock to make the college football playoff. Whereas now, you're 9-2 going in your, or, you know, 8-3 going into your last game. And it's like, well, if we lose, we go to the L.A. Bowl instead of the Holiday Bowl, but half of our team's going to opt out anyway. So I'm not saying those fans aren't watching or following or caring. There is more leverage and energy on those games if a playoff spot is on the line.
Oregon would have gotten drubbed against LSU if they played them.
Oh, without a doubt.
I don't know if it's as bad as Oklahoma.
Probably.
But it's an ass-whooping.
Yeah.
You still would have been far more excited to talk about taking on one of the greatest college football teams of all time and can they keep it tight? What is the one way to keep it close in this game versus Wisconsin, non-playoff game, Rose Bowl?
Yeah.
And I know they won and Herbert had his moment, his day in the sun, and like gets sent off. And that's all, like, it's a fun memory. It doesn't mean anything in that sport anymore. And that's the unfortunate nature. I'm not telling you to change the way how you feel. It's just the reality is everybody outside of your fandom don't care.
No.
So I would, to your point, how many teams can get away with three losses and be brought up for the playoff? Well, we know Texas can. We know Alabama
can.
Oh,
yeah, all your Georgia prime suspects in the SEC.
LSU, if you have three, well, we're going to come on ESPN and Feinbaum, and we're going to debate and scream why they should get it. But that cutoff is like after 7 or 8 teams, man, nobody gets that.
Yeah.
The minute Vanderbilt loses their third game, right now in the current system, curtains. It just, now, at least to your point, you're going into the final week or two and you're saying, all right, we're going to get in if we don't crap our pants here.
Right. We got to, and some of those times it's a rivalry game at the end of the year and like you need to go win one more game in order to get in.
And so it's like, it, to me, it's still back to my original point from earlier the week. It's about seeding. You can say you don't care.
Yeah, you'd want a home game.
Yeah, sure, but you'd want a home game, or you want a more favorable matchup in the first. Like, where do you got to travel if you're a road team, right?
Right.
So, like, I totally get why people don't like it. I understand it, but if it happens in the sport, and by the way, it's 17% of college football would be making the playoff, 20% in college basketball.
Yeah.
That's the difference, too. So, if it happens, I'm in. Because, one, my school gets to be a little more leeway into the party.
You have a better pathway.
And I don't care about my team getting bludgeoned in that playoff game. I'd rather have it be a playoff game than be an irrelevant bowl game that I'm never going to travel to.
Seeing your team in the bracket is always cool. There's no doubt about that. So just another angle of it. How many more unique teams would have made the playoff had the last 2 years been a 24-team field? Let's get to the wildest home injuries you've ever had, playing with your kids, doing something crazy, because an MLB pitcher says this one might take the top of the list. That's next. 105.1 FM The Fan. Well, I apologize to the Beaver fans I offended, saying you're not going to win a national championship. Shouldn't poop on your dreams. My apologies.
We've only done it three times, so you can't doubt us.
You got three in baseball. Might get another one this year. I hear you're good. People tell me.
It's all about matchups, brother. You go 3-4 straight games. You're in the title scenario. Now you've got a nervous Notre Dame saying, we don't play well against this program.
Hey, I should never say never. Never say never. couple other thoughts coming in. Maybe with the 24-team playoff, schools won't be afraid to play tough teams in non-conference since four losses gets you into the playoff. I mean, that's part of it, why regressing the field just doesn't work and is one of the worst ideas you could think of, because
they go back to four. Who's playing who?
You can credit Indiana for being the best coaching job in the history of football, and what Cignetti did was remarkable.
Mm-hmm.
What they're doing in non-conference scheduling deserves to be mocked and shamed and ridiculed until the sun comes down every single day.
Texas is wanting to do this.
It's embarrassing. It's bad for the sport. It's bad for your fans. It's bad for everybody involved.
Well,
it serves no purpose other than giving you three automatic wins before you go into conference play, and it doesn't benefit anything. And
I
so
think the fans would disagree.
I mean, they got a title. I get it. Sure.
Title,
that's not the reason they won the title, was because they played three patsies in non-conference. Have some balls and go play a real team if you're that good. Because guess what? They were the best team in the sport last year, and they probably would have beaten anybody that they played. Do you remember the week one score that they had?
Yeah, didn't they struggle with Old Dominion?
They played Old Dominion.
24-16 or
it
something?
It was like 27-14. And then the next week they played Indiana State and won 84-2.
Yeah.
And it was off and running from there.
It was
and
off
so
and running.
This is why scheduling is just, yeah. Anyways, that's why you can't go back, because you'll just get teams that race to the bottom of how do we make this as easy as humanly possible in order to get more wins. So I'm hoping that's a theory. I think that is a positive spin potentially out of a 2014 playoff. Couple more thoughts. There's zero reason a four-loss team deserves to compete for a championship. 12 is fine, max 16. Those teams play in bowls. So there's an argument for why not just let them compete for a championship. And this is where I think we just have to change the way we view it. Like, I get the argument. A four-loss team, I would be shocked if they ever actually won a national title. I think that would be a very random and unique circumstance.
Oh, man, that'd be crazy.
But it also, like, I don't know. I guess the way that I would view them, because in this model that's proposed, the top eight teams would get a bye, and then nine would play 24. You go, you know, so on and so forth. And you would get eight games in that opening round with eight teams advancing. I would just kind of almost view those as a pseudo bowl game more than a national championship level. Does that make sense?
Yeah, you could legitimately call up the bowl sponsors, who are, by the way, dropping like flies, and you can say, hey, if you don't want to stop sponsoring a bowl, why don't you sponsor this home playoff game?
Yes.
And we'll tie your company in.
And it's a game where players will actually play. You're not going to likely opt out, even if you're the Arizona, the 23 seed. You're going to go play in that game because you're going on the road to Miami.
See, that's actually a funny follow-up I hadn't considered. Do you think we get the back-end seeds?
Nah, we're a 22 seed. I'm not playing. Maybe you
I wonder
I don't
if
know.
Like an 8-4 SEC team makes it. I wonder if you would have guys like legitimately go, we're not going to win more than two games here.
Yeah, you could.
But yeah, overall, I think you could just entice the bowl sponsors who are still around and say, you know, like, I joke about it, but the Pop-Tart Bowl should be a playoff game.
Yeah.
And if you're going to watch the Pop-Tart Bowl when it doesn't matter, why not just put a little stakes on it and call it the same thing? It doesn't have to change how you feel. I hear the point. I understand, again, the case against 24.
You want the regular season to matter, and a four-loss team shouldn't deserve the right to go play for a championship. Totally get it.
But what if they run their way through the playoffs? We get teams that win the Super Bowl every year all the time that we go, I actually don't think they were the best team in the NFL this year. Like, you got Seattle, who wins the Super Bowl, and you go, they proved it. The record was great, and they backed it up, and they won. I got a 10-6 Giants Super Bowl, and I go, no. I watched the NFL that season. I had eyeballs. They were not the best team in football, but they played really well. Their pass rush was stellar, and they had one of the greatest upsets in sports history. So you, from time to time, get teams that win it that don't necessarily look like the best. I don't know if that would happen in college football.
I mean, I would argue this is the funny thing. Like, I still am somewhere in the middle where I get both sides of it. I am leery about what may or may not happen. I understand the positive angles of it. I'm straddling the fence a little bit. But the one thing I will say, and again, this is the defense of your argument, we literally saw it 2 years ago.
Ohio State
lost one of the most shocking games in my lifetime in the sport.
One of the worst Michigan teams to ever exist.
They couldn't throw a forward pass.
they were playing
them in Columbus. Yeah. That was a Death Star National Championship that couldn't pick up a first down in their home stadium against a 7-5 team that lost to the Washington Huskies.
What was the score of that game? Was it 10-3?
It was 12-10, 12-9. I mean, it was ugly, and they couldn't do anything.
Michigan scored a touchdown on defense, didn't they?
I want to, or they like, I think they got a pick and then ran it to like the 2 yard line, yeah, and then ran it in. But it took them like four downs in order.
They were
to
terrible,
score.
And they somehow won the game.
13-10
13-10 Thank you.
10.
And fast forward a month and a half later,
they couldn't be stopped.
They couldn't be stopped,
still
and they won the national title.
40 points on your top.
And in a different, if the 12-team playoff had started a year later,
yeah,
Ohio State wouldn't have been in.
Yeah, you're
in
right.
In a 4-team field, they wouldn't have sniffed it.
Yeah, you're right.
But they ended up getting a home game, and they rolled against Tennessee, yep, and everything came together. And so this argument that it lessens the regular season, I would say that should have been the primary example of that's maybe the biggest game in the sport every year. It's mm-hmm. maybe the biggest rivalry in all of sports. You can make that argument, but certainly in college football. And to lose in that shocking a fashion, and at the end of the day, yeah, there's a little bit of that for Buckeye fan, I'm sure, of like, God, I can't believe we lost to Michigan, but at least we won the national title. At the end of the day, they still won a national championship, and they hung a trophy and a banner, and it's now up in their stadium forever. And so the regular season has already been dampened in importance. And so I think some of the fear-mongering has already taken place is the only point I'm making. One more here, and then we'll move on. this one came on YouTube. I'm okay with 24 teams because there's precedent with FCS and lower divisions in college football.
Yeah, they do a pretty good job
every year.
Of it,
76 in the NCAA tournament is nuts, especially because it's just going to give more spots to big conferences.
The funny thing about the FCS one is, and it, you know, there's people far more vested and knowledgeable than I. I think when the FCS, they've been doing the 24-team playoff, and I think they do a pretty good job of it.
Is it 24 or 32?
I thought it was 24.
Okay.
Correct me if I'm wrong here. I mean, doesn't it end up being the best teams that usually win
every
it
year?
Anyway?
It's the same teams. Two teams dominate. North Dakota State, it's, yeah.
Again, to the point. If you're going to watch the irrelevant bowl game that has no meaning to it, attach some meaning to it, and you don't choose to still not watch it, but
I would just almost view, yeah, you're right, 24.
Yeah.
I would almost view those first round games as a pseudo play-in game of like the eight are already there waiting. You get eight more games. We probably know who is going to win.
Maybe we get an upset in one of those
games.
Not
all the matchups are great, but you get an upset, and it's like, what? You don't have to watch if you don't want to, and then the nitty-gritty will, you know, run its way to the top.
Can't wait for the Ducks to be a two, and we argue because the seven gets the better break of the team that got the upset.
Are you kidding me with this?
Wyoming?
This is nonsense, dude. We got to play North Dakota State right out of the gate. We can't handle the Bison right now.
Dude, I'm sorry. I just happened to look at the internet while you read a text.
Mm-hmm.
Justin Herbert's in a music video.
He is making out with his gal.
He's like,
is this what
it's
gets
just
him over
him
the
and
top?
Her. The is whole video is him and her
just making out. Some people have had some really funny things of like, oh my God, she's making out with some random guy. Oh, that's not a random guy.
Justin Herbert is in a music video
making out with Madison Beer.
Like, just
is this good or bad for his playoff flopping?
You, your girl, and your Johnson.
If this is your quarterback, how are you feeling?
Especially with
if this is Brock Purdy, I'm feeling real weird.
Really weird?
A little bit, yeah.
You don't want to watch him make out with a hot?
I'm not blaming him. It's his girlfriend.
Although,
he's clearly in love with this
can
girl.
I will defend one angle. Now, shocking. I will defend Herbert here. I put you in his shoes.
Breaking news.
I'm
in.
You're dating Madison Beer.
Yeah, I'm in. Who's not in?
Would you rather be the one making out with her in the music video or her making out with a random guy in the music video?
Oh, no.
Ten out of ten times, you're saying, hey, babe, I'm ready to go.
I'm not bashing him. I'm just merely pointing out. This is the most odd thing he's done since he became the spokesperson
for
natural soap and deodorant.
And those were pretty Herbert-y reads, like just as boring as you could be. He does SoFi ones, too.
Well, the SoFi is the connection to the team and the stadium.
Yes, it is.
The Sasquatch one, I mean, I didn't mind him. I thought he was fine. But now it's Megan Fox.
I was just going to ask. Have you seen the new Sasquatch ads?
We're going from Herbert to Megan Fox.
I did
we're taking a different approach here.
That was a brief pivot and look at the TV last night. I think Teddy Ballgame was looking at me like, what are you watching, Dad? Don't worry, buddy. Soap. Soap. It's good soap.
Can we pull this song, Brandon? It's called Lover Girl. I don't even know what it sounds like. It's just a music video of them
making out,
gallivanting around. He's holding her. He's like love eyes into her.
Yeah.
This is the most non-Herbert thing he's ever done.
This is, I feel like this has the potential to be a breaking point for him. One direction or the other.
If it doesn't go well, we're pointing to this.
We're going we're either taking a left turn or a right turn. It's either going to lead to playoff success because all of his Fs are gone and he doesn't feel pressure anymore because Madison Beer has eased the tension.
Yeah.
Or he's so wrapped up in Madison Beer that his career is going to slowly crumble as a starting quarterback.
Look, you'll never top Darren Waller love singing to Kelsey Plum on the beach.
No, to make up for that one.
But if we were to go past that point.
That could be another good poll question today. Do you want your franchise quarterback making out in a music video? Yes or no?
We're going to have to pull this song. I got to hear what this song is about because I've seen this video. This is crazy.
I heard the first snippet I saw, there was a little piece of it that went viral on social media yesterday. Yeah. And you see and you're like, Madison Beer, new music video. Look who she's in it with. And I'm like, huh? And I click it. And you don't, you can't really see the face at first. And it's her singing. And then they lean in and start making out. And you're like, oh, my God.
He's like running on the beach with her.
It's Justin Herbert.
It's like the intro to a television show.
It is just so out of character for him, I think, is why it's taking us aback. But, hey, if
he's
it wins
also
in the playoff
himself.
Game,
he's
I'll
in his 20s, man. He's, some guys don't figure out who they are till late in their life.
It's Madison Beer, too.
I mean, it's Madison Beer.
When you're dating Madison Beer, if she says, hey, I want you in my music video, you know what your answer is?
You're not saying no.
Make
fine,
out
I'll go get Channing Tatum. Oh, hold on. I'll think about this.
Hold on. We'll pull the song. We'll play a little bit of it. We'll do that. We've been teasing Matt Boyd for like 3 hours now, so let's get to it next, shall we? What's the weirdest home injury you've ever had? Plus a new Madison Beer single. That's next, 105.1 FM The Fan. God, it's so good, it's so nice. One look right into your eyes. Welcome back to 105.1 The Buzz.
Madison Beer popping up on the charts with their new hit single, Lover Girl.
Number one single, making up with a guy we don't know who he is.
Featuring Oregon Duck, Justin Herbert. This is terrible.
This is not... People listen to this?
This is a making love song. They are grinding and bumping up this song.
Let me, so I brought up earlier, we don't always tell 100% of the truth when you're asked a certain question at home. You're dating Madison Beer.
Yeah.
She plays this for you.
Yep.
What do you think, babe?
It's great. I'm horny.
I mean, no matter the music, if you're just around her. Yeah, I mean, it's great. Automatic. Yeah.
I mean, what?
Phenomenal song.
I mean,
give you a Grammy right now.
You are after this truth thing that, like, nobody is to a certain level of truth.
No, nobody tells 100%
Teddy Ballgame's going to make one of his first art pieces in school. And you're going to
already
it's
making
not
art. Yeah.
Picasso.
Right.
But you're also going to put it on the fridge because you're like, ah, you did something.
I got a piece of art of Teddy Ballgame in a frame right now.
That's awesome.
He just jammed a bunch of things on a piece of paper.
Sounds terrible. I got to be honest. I mean,
it's
terrible.
What do you think? He's two. He doesn't want to draw yet.
I mean,
quite keep it between the lines.
She's going to know that his genre of music is not the Madison
not
Beer
his,
playlist.
That's not his genre.
But if he's hears this, he's what is he to think this versus Doja Cat? I don't know. Yeah. Like, maybe he's just like, yeah, it's fine.
That's a good song.
Sounds
right
like
there.
A radio banger.
I like it. Good stuff.
But we just like to be around naked people together.
Yeah.
Lover Girl, Madison Beer, new single out now.
Lover Girl.
Lover Girl.
All right.
She is Justin Herbert's Lover Girl.
Did you post the Tom Dundon one?
No, I have not done that yet.
I kind of want to pivot and be like.
Let's do, yeah, if you.
What, how would we
if
phrase
your star
this?
Do you want your star quarterback making out with a girl in a music video?
If your star quarterback is winless in the playoffs, are you concerned that he appears in an off-season music video?
We could do it Herbert specifically too. Will Herbert making out with Madison Beer in a music video help or hurt him in the postseason next year? How about that? Is that your neighborhood restaurant group poll question of the day? What do we think?
That's a dumb question. That's so good. Post that.
All right.
Because somebody's going to read that and go, what are you talking about?
Who's going to put the division? Your neighborhood restaurant group brings you the fan poll question on X every day. Dinner at one of their five locations. San Diego's Big Chicken, Reverend's Barbecue, 808 Hawaiian, and Lowerhurst Market Steakhouse. Add Turton Sprague on Twitter. Go vote. I'll get that one up here in a moment. What is the weirdest thing you've ever done at home that has led to an injury? Or most embarrassing thing that you've ever done at home that led to an injury? What if Herbert got hurt making out with Madison Beer?
I had a pretty bruised...
Running on the beach and he like tweaks his MCL.
Just goes down holding his knee.
TMZ cameras are up on top of the beach watching him filming the thing. Herbert out for the year.
There's a part where he's running and she's running kind of in the water as the waves are coming up and they're like grabbing hands, right? If he was to have fallen in that part, do you know how many guys are zooming in to see the snap on the sweatpants to see if it was the Achilles or not?
Every single person.
Every NFL fan is zooming in.
Zapruder film that thing and see what is snapping or not
snapping.
There's
a snap. I see those sweatpants. They're launching up. Rubber band break. Dumbest injury. I have a few. Obviously, some of them involved tweaked backs involving like picking up the kid at weird angles. The one I would have, though, that I'm most ashamed of is I lost $5 for my daughter once, and I couldn't find it. And out of frustration, I punched my apartment door and bruised severely my hand.
Really? You punched the door?
Yeah, I had to repair an apartment closet door.
For losing $5, huh? Daughter was asking for the money. You thought you had it in your pocket, couldn't find it.
It was a bad day. Yeah. I'll just say that.
One of those, like, everything piles up on you at the end of the day.
It was embarrassing.
And you just want to start punching something.
A lot younger. It was embarrassing. Yeah.
I mean, we've all had those moments, you know, where you're at the end of your rope, it feels like, for a day, and you're just like, I'm done. I'm ready to tap out.
I mean, the other ones would involve when the daughters were of a certain age and they sneak into the bed at 1 a.m. and you don't really notice it until they knee you right in the groin area, and you're like,
oh,
and you're like not even awake, and it's just like,
dude, Teddy did that to me. He reached in. I don't know if he was going for a hug or something, but somehow a hand ended there and a ball got squeezed, and that was an immediate like, dude, what is happening right now? No, we do not squeeze those. Do you know how much that hurts? Look, you're the little balls might not hurt yet. I don't know
squeeze
how that,
them damn thing.
I don't
sure
know how
them.
That works for 2-year-olds. I don't remember what it was like getting hit in the balls as a 2-year-old. That is off limits, buddy. Like, no, immediate life lesson. No squeezing, no punching, no hitting in that area. Off limits.
Thank you for you for teaching him there.
Yeah, you got to learn. Got to learn the hard way sometimes. Yeah. It's like, damn it, Teddy. I don't really have that many embarrassing home injuries.
You're
other
still
than
new.
Getting punched in the balls last night.
Teddy ball game needs to be about 6. When he starts actively,
when we start wrestling around the house, something's gonna happen. Like our wrestling days are slowly beginning. He loves you know getting tossed around on the mat a little bit and throwing against the couch and all that. So those days are fun. But I know eventually when you're down and like something's gonna tweak and happen.
Right.
I've thrown my back out one time picking him up, and that was the one time that I was like, oh no, this is starting. But I got over. A couple of days later, back hasn't had any issues since then, so I'm hoping it's not a lingering problem. But that was the only time, like, around the house that I've ever actually gotten hurt.
I mean, it's going to be something with him hitting a golf ball.
Yeah.
And it's going to be you not knowing or seeing.
I'm getting just drilled in the shin
right
bone.
In, like, that bone on the ankle bone.
Oh, it hurts so
just
bad.
Solo dolo, the ball hits right square on that, and you're like, oh!
Damn.
And then you're going to scream at him as if he meant to do it on purpose.
Right.
And you're going to feel guilty.
I'm sorry!
Yeah, he's going to feel terrible an
that
hour later.
What's the matter with you? Yeah. What about you, Brandon? Any home injuries to dial up?
No, you've got to name both of them.
Yeah.
My son's like kneed me in the groin a couple times.
Yeah.
And then I've also kind of thrown out my back picking up children because both of my kids are dense. Like they are just just heavy. Like both
dense
of them. My
is
son
a good
and
way
my,
to put it.
They are like compared to my nieces and nephews, they're probably the heaviest two kids in the family. Like,
are you saying in a very nice way? You got fat kids.
In a loving way, yes.
In a loving way. They're dense.
That is the nicest way you could say
it. Like they're heavy as hell. It's like a bag of sand. You got to pick up and throw over your shoulder every day, man. You got to tweak something in your back. Slip a disc.
My poor nephew. He has all these photos, and he leans into it to his credit. But like. He had a real stretch from, I'd say, 5th grade to about 6th. COVID was tough on him. He might have gained 100 pounds. And, like, we all kind of saw it happening. And he'd be, like, grabbing cake. And nobody would be saying anything.
Another slice, huh, buddy?
Well, he had a picture of himself.
Let's dial it back.
He goes out loud. You know, I actually thought I was in really good shape when exactly his photo was taken. And I go, dude, we wanted to roll you around. You were
it's
so
chicken.
Fat.
Fat wall gravy, baby.
He was fatter than that kid.
Than the chicken
the
kid?
The chicken kid. It was bad.
That kid was pretty fat, man. Yeah. That kid was pretty fat. My brother threw out his back turning around reaching for toilet paper on the toilet one time.
Oh, it's bad.
That was a pretty good one.
That's a pretty terrible
one. I have not let him live that one down. Just to lean over the, just leaning to get the, to start rolling the toilet paper.
Yeah.
That's not even that big of a lean.
I've had my back tighten up for like 20 minutes on a sneeze.
Yeah. Sneezes can hurt.
It just like, yeah.
The older I get in, the more, like when I'm sick, like last time I got sick and missed a show, was sneezing, like, it's like a full body pain at this point. Ow! It's done more damage than good almost to me.
Yeah.
Well, the reason we bring this up is Matthew Boyd, Cubs pitcher, local guy. Shout out,
had
Beach.
A great career, man.
He's had an unbelievable career. He got hurt. He got down on the ground to start playing with his kids, sitting down to play with his kids. And he is going to be out for a while now because he needs meniscus surgery.
Let me give you a take. I don't know what Bazana's going to do, and Kwan's been really stinking good.
Best beef?
Is Matt Boyd had the best pro career of a beef?
Ellsbury was pretty solid.
Ellsbury, yeah, I know.
I know it didn't end well for him, but he had a run there.
It was a moment in time.
Moment in time
Matt
for
Boyd's
him.
Been steadily a really good starting pitcher in
You're
baseball.
You're not wrong.
Started as a reliever.
Question.
Yeah. Middle innings guy, and he's become a really good. He made an all-star team last year.
He did.
It's probably Jacoby Ellsbury, really but I think you can make a case for Matt Boyd.
I think it's like the Jordan LeBron thing. High-end level, like Ellsbury had some seasons where he was elite.
Yeah.
Longevity-wise, no doubt about it, it's Matthew Boyd. Been a good big leaguer for a long time. He's like 35 years old.
I will never forget forever. Being at a Civil War baseball game at PK Park. Pat Casey brought in Matt Boyd. He faced one batter and pulled him, and the entire press box was like,
what are we doing?
Huh? It's like one of the best pitchers on the staff. What are you doing?
We'll read some of yours. What is the worst injury you've suffered is at home as Matthew Boyd out with a meniscus leaning down to play with his kids? 503-864-6326. We've got a loaded final hour that will include Jake's takes. He's popping in at some point.
Somebody say who wins a playoff game first, the Fire or Herbert?
Ooh. Oh, the Fire are tanking.
They are. They're openly tanking.
I'm telling you, man, this is one direction or the other for Herbert. It's either going to fix everything or it's going to go sideways in a hurry. We'll read some of those comments. Jake's takes in the final hour loaded. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague 105.1 FM, The Fam.